Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A little later on today's program, we'll talk about helping ex-offenders re-enter society and contributing to it. But first, nearly 50 million Americans are living beneath the poverty line. That's about 15% of the population, a little under one of every seven. The national number seems to be stabilizing somewhat, but in the city of St. Louis, almost twice the national average live in poverty. There is a ripple effect, one of which is homelessness. The current state of the economy only exaggerates the problem. People can't find work. Government has fewer resources to help. Efforts are underway here to further mobilize a community effort against poverty. And with me in studio to talk about the effort and the problem it is trying to correct is Martine Raffanon, Executive Director of Gateway 180, Homelessness Reversed. It provides comprehensive services to the homeless. Martine, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very timely. The poverty issue is on the front page of today's paper, and a lot of people are talking about it. I'd like to start with the politics of poverty. I mean, we're all familiar by now with the comments about the 47% basically accused of being freeloaders on the government. On the other side of the political spectrum, we have people talking about poverty, but only saying we'll create more jobs and that will end it. What's your slant on what politics and politicians are doing and saying about poverty?
Well, I would like to think that all of our political leaders would want to meet the needs of the most vulnerable people in our communities. And I would like to think that all of our political leaders understand that when we address the needs of those who are poor, and when we find ways of engaging them fully in our community so that they can be good neighbors and productive citizens, we build a better community for all of us. And so my hope is that we as people in our community, in this particular community, can come together to understand that as we address the needs of those who are the most vulnerable in our St. Louis community, we can find ways of strengthening their lives and our own lives together in a strong and healthy community.
Why do you think it is that the politicians at virtually all levels, but I'm thinking specifically of the national level, given the heat of the campaign right now, why do you think it is that they are really not focusing on this issue? We're talking about an awful lot of people, millions of people, almost 50 million people below the poverty line, and yet they're kind of just shunted aside.
Well, I think that both parties at this point have decided that they're not going to talk about this issue. I'm saddened by that. I think it's tragic. I think that this is an important discussion. I think it is one that all of us need to be paying attention to because it's about our communities. It's about us, basically. It's about our families. It's about those people that we're connected to and that we need to provide some way of helping to strengthen their lives and their ability to be full citizens and be strong parts of our communities. And this is for some reason, in this particular political campaign, for whatever that reason is, whether it be how people are perceiving the polls or how people are perceiving particular kinds of issues or who is going to be voting for what given their particular perception of this issue, folks have decided that this isn't something that we're going to have a national conversation about. When the numbers clearly indicate that this is something that is critically important to the future of our nation, and we need to be paying attention to
it. I want to get to those numbers because you have some very interesting ones with you, to be sure. I think one of the things that people don't realize, particularly in an economy such as the one we have today, is that there are an awful lot of people who are below the poverty line, but an awful lot who are precariously close, perhaps just a paycheck or two away from falling under that line.
Don, you put your finger on it. I'm a person that is working in an emergency shelter for women and children and for families. If I were to tell you that one out of five of the women in our emergency shelter, which is the largest one in the state of Missouri, if I were to tell you that one out of five is working full-time and still in an emergency shelter because they don't have the resources to take care of themselves and their family, what would that say to you about our nation, our community? when a person is doing everything that they possibly can to play by the rules, to do everything they can to work, to provide for their family, and yet they are still in a position where they have to be in an emergency shelter, I think we can do better than that as a community. And I believe that St. Louis is very committed to doing better than that and helping people, especially those who are so committed to strengthening their own lives, to pursue a better way for them to be fully housed and to be a part of a great community. And that's what we're going to try to do at Gateway 180, and that's what we're going to try to do in this Community Against Poverty volunteer fair, because we know that we can't do this individually. Gateway 180 could not do this by itself, but working with other organizations, working with volunteers, working with our collaborative partners, we can do great things in this community, and we are doing great things. I think the story of what's going on in St. Louis around homelessness, one that is not often told, is one of the great stories of our community.
Well, you've surprised me, as we were talking before going on the air, with regard to the numbers of people who are homeless here in St. Louis. I've heard the numbers in the thousands, and I guess we've heard all sorts of numbers from many, many different sources. What are your numbers?
Well, there are thousands of homeless people in this community. But guess what? St. Louis is an extremely generous and compassionate community. There are a lot of families and a lot of friends who are taking care of homeless people. They have taken homeless family members and homeless friends and taken them in. This is a community that also provides strong services to homeless people. We have a census that actually counts the number of homeless people on the streets twice a year. We do this in order to make sure that we can understand specifically who actually is living out on the street. And we know where to find these folks. We know where to look for them. We have tremendous experience over years. So we have an understanding of who is out there right now. We have 1,400 people that are homeless in the community, according to our last census, which was just done a couple of months ago. But 1,250 of those persons are receiving services from our Continuum of Care for Ending Homelessness, which is run by the City of St. Louis in St. Louis and by the county in the county. There are five what we call continua in this metropolitan area to address the needs of homeless people. Now, each one of these continua gets dollars from Housing and Urban Development to address the needs of homeless people in their jurisdictions. In the City of St. Louis, our Continuum of Care is so successful, has done such tremendous work, that they are able to bring in over $8 million a year from the federal government to address the needs of homeless people. That's in the top 5% of performance around the nation. So the opportunity for us to actually meet the needs of homeless people by providing them with housing and the services necessary for them to create a change in their life is very strong. Compassionate community, outstanding ability to actually have social services that address the needs of those who are homeless, making sure that we use data to track the performance in addressing those needs. When you put all of that together, you bring homelessness down in a community.
But, you know, I think the people who read the newspapers and listen to the radio and watch television get the sense that this is not a coordinated effort, that there may even be something akin to a competition amongst organizations. We've got Larry Rice out there who was continually making headlines with his attempt to create these enclaves, if you will, or exclaves for homeless people. We've got the Salvation Army out there, which is doing great work with regard to the homeless. Do you sense this sense of competition, and would your numbers jive with theirs?
I would say that this is one of the most collaborative communities that I've ever been a part of, and I'll tell you why. And I don't sense that competition. We hear a lot about what Larry Rice is doing because of his particular way of kind of engaging the media. But we actually have 60 organizations in this community, including those of Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, Peter and Paul, St. Patrick Center, Gateway 180, Homelessness Reversed, Shalom House, many other organizations. There are 60 of them that work together in what I have told you is called a continuum of care. We've been doing this for three decades, collaborating, working together to try to address the needs of homeless people. And guess what? It's not about putting a person into a tent. That is not what we do. Our goal is to get people into housing where they have the services that they need to transform their lives and to create the changes that will allow them to stay stably housed. Now, that cannot be done by one organization. It's got to be done by a lot of organizations working together, and it's got to happen with a lot of volunteers in this community really supporting the effort. That's why this volunteer fair, organized essentially by the JCRC, is so important. It brings people together, and they can engage these efforts.
That fair, by the way, for our listeners, is on September 23rd.
Correct.
We'll mention it again before we go off the air, but just to let you know that we have information about that fair and a link to the website on our website at stlpublicradio.org, so folks can get more information that way. Where does the housing come from that you find to put these folks in?
Well, as you know, St. Louis is – I've said, number one, that St. Louis is a very generous and compassionate community. So that's number one. You've got a bunch of – you've got tremendous social services. You've got tremendous faith traditions that have been engaged in this work. But I also have made the claim that there's lots of housing. Well, you and I both know that there's a tremendous amount of housing in this community standing right now that can be redeveloped and used in a variety of different ways. Many communities don't have this asset. Believe me, I come from the Bay Area. You want to build some new housing there, you're going to have to pay for it. L.A., 85,000 homeless people on the streets, but very little land and very little ability to build low-cost housing. But St. Louis, no.
Are you talking vacant housing?
Yes, I'm talking about housing that is currently vacant, owned by the land authority, and actually, lots of additional housing that is just available as low-income housing. I mean, we have a housing market that's relatively low, and we have rent that is low in this community. The difference between where I grew up in Oakland, California, and St. Louis is like night and day in terms of the ability to actually create housing that is available at a low price. So we have been able to do that. We've been able to create over 2,900 supported beds in this community through the Our Continuum of Care, which means when I say supported bed, it means that not only do we get people into a home, but we provide them with the services that they need to take care of job situation, take care of child care, take care of health care, take care of whatever it is they need to address and make a transition in their life around so that stable housing is the result. That is incredible, really.
When they're placed, and I have to take a break, but very quickly, when they are placed, is this a temporary situation or can it be or is it permanent?
We really prefer a permanent situation. We would prefer to get you to permanent housing immediately. But if that's not the case, we will put you into what we call transitional housing, which gives you support for a period of time as you address issues, and then you move to permanent housing later on. So Gateway 180, for example, we have 38 beds of transitional housing in large units. These are for families of at least six people. All right. We've been able in our organization to make sure that those people get to permanent housing well under a year's time. So we provide support for a period of time, but then those families move to permanent housing.
But in order to maintain permanent housing, they're going to have a permanent job. They're going to have something so that they can be self-supported.
They need resources, yep. And that's what we do with families immediately as they come into even our emergency shelter. The first thing we do is that we quickly assess the economic situation. Do we need to restructure debt? Do we need to help people pay off debt? Do we then start saving? Each family that comes to our building starts saving money immediately upon entering our building. By the time they leave us, their debts will be paid and they will have dollars to start a new life.
That's Martin Ruffinon. He is the executive director of Gateway 180, Homelessness Reversed. Maybe a Freudian slip there, but it's Homelessness Reversed. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And, of course, we'd like to bring you into it. If you have issues you'd like to raise with regard to the homeless situation in our community, please do so at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK, or send us an email if you like it, talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll also take a tweet at STL On Air. You can reach us through Facebook. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Martin Ruffinon, Executive Director of Gateway 180, Homelessness Reversed. We're talking about poverty in our community, and one of the things that that spawns is homelessness. And Martin is an expert on the subject, been at it for about 30-plus years now. Martin, how has the profile of a homeless person or homeless people changed in your 30 years?
Well, it's changing very dramatically at this time. We're seeing a lot more families that have income, that where we have people working full-time and still becoming homeless. That's the difference. It's one of the numbers that's very surprising is that one person in six in the St. Louis area is currently receiving free food from a pantry each month, and that there are over 940,000 Missourians receiving food stamps. That number comes from July 2012. This is an indication that it's no longer the very, very poor that we are talking about, but we are talking about families who are middle income and have people working in the family, but they are not able to make ends meet. So this is the new situation that we're dealing with. As I said before, it's much more challenging.
This goes back to the point that many people are just one step away from maybe not homelessness, but certainly being below that poverty level.
Right. Yes. Right. Because, for example, even at Gateway 180, we work with families that are at 20% median income or below. So for a family in Missouri, that median income for a family of four is $45,700. Well, that means that a family of four in our building has less than $10,000 in resources on an annual basis. That is a very challenging economic situation for a family of four, and it takes a lot of work to help that family regroup, build, and then become stable in housing. Again, that doesn't happen through one organization. It must happen through the work of a community coming together.
You mentioned the volunteer fair that is happening on September 23rd and your need for volunteers. Obviously, that's what you're doing, is trying to recruit volunteers. What do the volunteers do?
Volunteers at Gateway 180 do a whole number, a variety of different things. They provide expertise. They work with providing the basic everyday needs of people that are in our building. They provide support, attention, care to encourage our clients and our families to move forward in their lives. And when you think about all of the organizations that are working to address poverty in our community, you get a full range of different volunteer activities that people can engage in. We can make use of your gifts, of your talents. If you are interested in helping in any way, shape, or form in this work, then I would really suggest coming to the Community Against Poverty Volunteer Fair on Sunday, because it will give you an opportunity to talk with 30 different organizations with their variety of needs. Gateway 180, for example, if you go to our website, gateway180.org, we'll have a full page of description of various volunteer activities you can be engaged in. But that it's sometimes really good to have an opportunity to talk directly with people in organizations and to find a way of matching your skills and abilities to what is actually needed in the community.
I'll point out this is happening from 3 to 5 on Sunday, and it's going to be happening at the Heights at 8001 Dale. That's in Richmond Heights, I would assume. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's 3 to 5 on Sunday. Again, all of that information is on our website, stlpublicradio.org. We have some people who want to talk to you, Martin, so let's bring them in. Eugene in U City, you're up first. Go ahead.
I was just wondering how many people in this area were made homeless from the collector of revenue taking their houses because they couldn't keep up on their property taxes.
All right, property taxes, and let's throw foreclosures into that, Martin.
Yes, I'm not sure of those exact numbers, but it is an issue. Essentially, the community is trying to address the issue of foreclosures. As you know, even our public radio and TV organizations have taken an active role in trying to address this situation because it's an important one for our entire community. And there are a variety of ways in which people eventually become homeless. But the most the one that is most prominent is just that people can no longer afford to pay for a home or a rental unit. That's the biggest issue, and that's what causes homelessness.
Can a family survive on minimum wage?
The answer to that is no. The minimum wage in Missouri is $7.25 an hour, which works out to a take-home pay of about $15,000, a little bit above $15,000 a year. So think about living on $15,000 a year if you are a family of two or three. I mean, the median income in this area is much higher than that. It's almost impossible to pay for housing. So working a minimum wage job is not going to cover the cost of your family, and additional support will be necessary. Hopefully in the future we'll be thinking about ways of strengthening the ways in which we can provide better paying jobs for low-income workers. And frankly, there's another area that is very challenging for us at Gateway 180, and that's we face a lot of people who have been who have large debts as a result of the payday loan industry. And this is an area where we have consistent challenges because people start these loans very small to begin with, but eventually because of exorbitant rates, they have very large balances that we must try to help pay before they can get into stable housing.
And that's part of what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Lawrence calling from Baden. Lawrence, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Well, first, a kind of a little pithy remark. If this is such a Christian country, why don't we have a big jubilee and start from scratch? But there's the reason I'm calling you. I want to talk about hunger now, as it's increasingly referred to, food insecurity. If you saw today's Post-Dispatch, there was, I think it's on page 7, there's a photograph in an article about showing a long snaking line of cars in a parking lot in Moline Acres. There's a mobile food bank was set up in a parking lot. And big long line of cars getting food. Now, here's what I'm going to bring into this. On another radio station this morning, someone was concerned about this, and they emailed the host. It was talking about they identified some of these cars, and I looked at these cars, and they're not junker cars, but I couldn't find the Cadillacs. I could not find the late model Lexus or some new model Honda. But this, you know, you get the man's point in emailing the host, and that elicited some of the usual calls from the people, bless them, who are not in those positions. Someone called in finally and had actually identified some of the cars. While they weren't junkers, they weren't that new. And the man made the point, these people purchased these cars probably before they needed food assistance. Now, another quick article.
Very quick, please, Lawrence.
My point, there's a lot of people don't believe this stuff is happening.
Right. Okay. Well,
and that's what it's all about with this, and that's what it's all about with certain people making remarks about 47% of the country are freeloaders, and I don't know how you combat this, but there's an awful lot of people who are hurting, and they may be driving cars that are only 2 years old and not junkers.
But, Lawrence, we've got the point, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but we don't have much time left, and I want to give Martine a chance to provide. Some people don't believe the folks in the cars, and other folks just want to ignore them, but don't want to admit that they're there at all.
I've already made the case that just from where I sit, in an emergency shelter situation and in relationship to many other organizations that are providing services to people in need. What is dramatically different is that there are more people in need who are folks who are, we might consider, in a middle-class situation. They just have more need at this time because of a whole variety of things that may have occurred in their life, whether it's a healthcare issue, whether it's the loss of a job, whether it is an issue of them not being able to keep their home. Whatever that is, we're just seeing more of it in our work.
Of course, there's no guarantee they're going to be able to keep the car. That's another issue, perhaps. Let's take one more call, this one from Carol in Waterloo. Carol, go ahead, please.
Hi. Hello.
Go ahead.
When they take these folks in, he said they help to move up to better housing. How can they save money if they don't have a job, or are they getting paid from the government to take these people in?
Well, good question. First of all, when people come into our building, we work with them to identify what their specific needs are, and in many cases, it is the lack of a job. And one of the things that we do immediately is begin to work with families so that they can begin to address this situation. So when you come into a shelter facility in St. Louis, you must organize, first of all, a set of documentation that is very important. Your immunization records, police reports, all of this is organized for you so that you have a set of documentation that will help you move forward into housing. So if you need a job, if you need to complete education, if you need to address child care, health care, other kinds of issues, we want to help you through referral to address some of those needs. And yes, that is paid for. Let me just tell you where the money comes from for our organization. About 45% of our support comes from federal, state, and city grants. 55% comes from charitable giving in our community. So about half is government funded, and a little bit more than half is charitably funded.
We just have a minute or two left. Can we eradicate homelessness in this community?
Of course we can. It is doable. It is practical. It's better for homeless families, for our community, for all of us. And the way we're going to do it is by doing four things. Prevent people from becoming homeless. Rapidly rehouse them when they do become homeless. Target services and use data to increase and improve our performance. We do those four things. We will be able to close shelters and make housing available to people in need immediately.
All right. Well, that's Martine Raffanen, Executive Director of Gateway 180, Homelessness Reversed. A reminder that the Community Against Poverty Volunteer Fair is going to be held Sunday, September 23rd in Richmond Heights at 8001 Dale. They're looking for volunteers to help in this cause, folks. So you can, if you'd like to get involved, that's one way to do it. We have information about that on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Martine, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Don.
Good luck in your work.
Thank you.
Coming up, helping ex-offenders find housing and jobs. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.